Well, we spent this morning as a staff going through the film and tried. You know, we played a lot of players, a lot to look at both our player evaluations, but also looking at our scheme things and some X's and O's, and you know how we handled and adjusted to some of the challenges that the Saints gave us, which you know are numerous. You know, went over the corrections with the players this afternoon in the film room. So, you know, on balance, I think that we, you know, played aggressively. You know, we made some plays in each game. We also, there were, you know, things that we needed to improve on, certainly. I thought that we finished out the game. The guys that were out there were able to, you know, make a goal line stand defensively, get the ball into field goal range offensively, and then, you know, make the winning kick on special teams, and then defensively stop their two-minute drive on the first play coming back. So, you know, I thought that they showed a good level of competitiveness to finish it out. And so now we try to take that performance and you know, our level of play from last night and get ready to build on it this week. And as a team, move to higher ground and the opportunities on Sunday and Monday and then in the practices and game with the Falcons later in the week. So that's kind of where we're headed. We, you know, full time here to, as a staff, regroup and see how things are going. You know, we've been running around so much just trying to, you know, keep going one day at a time. And I think now we, you know, we'll take a day tomorrow and kind of regroup and see where we're at and try to have a good plan for the players when they come in as to how to do the best we can to improve the team this week here in, and also in Atlanta. That's kind of where we're at there. Placed Ty on injury reserve today. Tough break for Ty, but we have to move on. He's missed quite a bit of time the last couple of years, so we've had to, you know, deal with that anyway. And unfortunate, but that's, you know, it's unfortunate, but unfortunately that's part of the game. And but we'll just move ahead. Good to have Derek here. And ready to go. We'll take stock of what, you know, what our health is and take the players that are healthy down to Atlanta and work with them. The guys that aren't, I'll get back as quickly as I can.
Was this decision to place Ty in injury reserve, was that something that you guys have been considering for a week or a couple weeks, or and is this something that you've been planning for as far as getting players work and that kind of thing?
Well, you know, all the players that are out there on the field are, you know, are getting work. No, I think it's more a question of just doing what's best for, you know, given all the circumstances in the situation. And, you know, we knew a little while ago that there was a possibility that it might be for a longer period of time. There's also a possibility that it might be for a shorter period of time. And, you know, as more information was gathered from various sources, and you know, combination of all that coming together, and the player, and medical people, and so forth. And this is the decision that was made. So.
Bill, when did things change with Derek?
Well, I think that's between Derek and myself. You know, it was personal conversations. So they changed basically when he arrived here and passed this physical and conditioning test this morning, and be out on the field. You know. The next time we're out there.
So he arrived this morning?
He came to the facility this morning.
For someone who had been considering retirement, is maybe an obvious question, but does this move mean that you're convinced that he's committed to playing football for the year?
Well, I'm glad he's here, and I think that I think he's ready to go.
Bill, on another topic, you guys had Lawrence Maroney in the game yesterday. He had, I think, 6 of his 8 carries inside the red zone, 4 inside the 5. Was that something that was that you wanted to get him looks, you know, so close to the goal line, given the you know, maybe last year he had some issues fumble wise and otherwise? Did you want to get him looks down near the goal line?
You know, it's really no, I mean, that's a great question. It's really hard when you go into a preseason game to, or any game for that matter, but especially a preseason game, to really know what you're going to get. You know, you don't know if you're ever going to be in the red area. I mean, you might never get down there, or you might score on a like New Orleans did on a long kick return and, you know, never even have the ball. So I think the thing, the main thing is you give the players opportunities, and some of it you can control, but a lot of it you really can't, especially situational football, like two-minute red area and short yardage and, you know, things like that. Special teams, which is all situational. You might not have any punt returns. You might have a dozen of them. You might not have any field goals. You might have, you know, five or six. So whatever the opportunities are, I think the player's mentality, and certainly what we tell the players is, you know, you need to be ready for whatever your situation is and your opportunity is, and be ready to do the best you can with it. We, you know, it's not like a scrimmage where you can structure, you know, 12 plays, and here's the down and distances, and here's this, and here's that. You know, in a game, whatever comes up, comes up. So it's part of being prepared, you know, for a test and not knowing what questions are going to be on the test. Some of them, you know, you just don't know. And so what I look for more is how the player responds to the whatever situations he's put in. And, again, a lot of that's out of our control. It's just the way the game, the flow of the game goes, and the situations that come up in it.
Bill, having lost Warren, how encouraged have you been at this point with the work of Gerard Warren?
You know, Gerard's worked really hard. I think he's shown a lot of improvement. I mean, he's a good player to begin with. But the thing with Gerard was he never really played in a system like this, Cleveland and Denver and Oakland. He was in a technique-wise and from a system standpoint, he was asked to do things differently than the way we do them, and that's just the way those particular defenses were constructed. So Gerard and I have talked about it, and you know, he's been very willing to you know, adapt his style of play to, you know, what's required in our defensive system, and he's done a good job with it. I think he played well last night. He did a lot of good things in the game. Had played with good effort, and you know, made a nice play in the screen pass downfield, for example. You know, things like that. So, you know, we know he's a strong physical player on the line of scrimmage, and but you know, he's shown, you know, a good ability to rush a passer. Had a couple quarterback hurries, and also, you know, showed up well in pursuit. So I think he's made the transition pretty well. Like all of us, you know, we've all got a long way to go, and of course he's in that category as well. But I think he's done well, and you know, I think he'll have a good, you know, ability to contribute for us this year based on what I've seen so far.
I'm curious with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis getting a start and getting so many carries. Was that an indication of his place, say, on a depth chart, or was that something where you wanted to get him looks against a first-string defense, or maybe something completely different?
Well, I think it's, you know, the running backs. We have seven running backs on our roster, and you know, rather than give every guy three carries or four carries or whatever it is, it's no different than what we did last year in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, a couple of guys get a lot of work in one game, and you know, and then the workload is split up in, you know, we have four preseason games, and that workload is split up in, differently in different games, but where, you know, everybody gets an opportunity, and you know, we just felt like it would be good to try to get each guy, you know, 8 to 10, 12 carries, somewhere in that range, and, you know, give him a chance to get into a rhythm, give him a chance to, you know, play for a while, evaluate his conditioning, evaluate, you know, his ability to, you know, not just go in and play for one play, but, you know, be in there for a series of downs and, you know, see how that goes, get a feel for the line. You know, we worked a lot of people in at line and tight end and even quarterback for that matter with ball handling, things like that. We just wanted to try to, you know, have a little bit of consistency out there, understand that there's always going to be moving parts, but, to, you know, try to let the group that's in there work together, and I think for the most part, we were able to do that.
Coach, this is Glenn Gilbo. I'm at the Gannett Papers in Louisiana. If you could look back a little bit, what do you think you learned in the 2002 season, your first season after winning a Super Bowl, that helped you and your team in 2004 when you did repeat?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if there's anything I could, you know, put my finger on. I mean, we've always taken the approach that every year is a new season. last year, and the slate's wiped clean for all of us, rookies, veterans, coaches, experienced or inexperienced. You know, we're all starting all over again. We all need to, you know, build a good base, build a good foundation, reestablish our level of performance in the new season. It's been 6 months since any of us have, you know, really played or coached, you know, competitively in a game like we had last night. And, you know, we all need to go through the same process of, you know, fine-tuning our skills and bringing the team together as one collective unit that includes, you know, again, all those people, players, coaches, play callers, coordinators, trainers, you know, all the people involved in a game day operation. Each year's its own entity, and we start all over again from scratch. So that's the way we've always kind of approached it. We've had, you know, successful seasons. We've had other seasons that haven't ended the way we wanted them to. But the following year, we try to take that approach every season.
Was there a hangover that hurt any of your team that first time?
Not that I can remember. I mean, certainly you come into the season with a good air, you know, good level of confidence after having a successful season the year before. But, you know, again, I think we're all mature enough to realize that the new year. And when you look at the standings from last year and the year before that, you see teams go from the bottom to the top, and you see them go from the top to, you know, down the line. So
right.
I think there's no better example of the NFL than what happened last year, the year before, or every year for that matter. It's 1 year the Colts were, whatever it was, 1-15, and next year they win the division. And, you know, we see that pretty regularly now in the NFL, those type of examples. So.
Thanks.
Sure.
Just on Damian Lewis, you mentioned Gerard Warren. Damian's kind of in the same boat to some degree, or is he a little bit more attuned with the system than Gerard?
No, I think it's very similar. Yeah, Damian, you know, played in St. Louis and Carolina, and again, primarily, you know, as a three technique, lining up on the guards, outside shoulder, and you know, 3-4 defense. We really don't have that player. Not that, you know, have some alignments that put him there, but, you know, for the most part, that's not a, you know, a primary base alignment for us in our 3-4 defense. So, you know, it's been a transition for him as well. But like Gerard, you know, he's played a lot of football. He's played against a lot of good players, and you know, he's a smart guy and a very experienced guy, and you know, he's been able to, you know, make the adjustments to our system and our style of play. I think last night was a good example of, you know, however much you practice it or, you know, go through it in drills or even practicing against another team, it's still a little bit different in game where the speed's higher and, you know, there's up blocks and tackling and a lot of things like that are involved that, you know, we don't really do in practice. We just get as close to them as we can, but we don't actually do them. So I think Damian's, you know, working hard, coming along, you know, making good progress in our system. I think he's in pretty good condition. And I think he can help us this year.
So was there a line of thinking in the some of the young guys, the tight ends, and then Spikes and McCourty, starting the game and then also playing deep into the fourth quarter? Is that maybe getting rookies conditioned to play in a full game? Was that maybe the idea there?
I think the main, you know, the main force behind things like that is just the overall depth of the team and the depth in certain positions. So that's how I would characterize it. You know, where we have more people, we can, you know, give more playing time and give everybody, you know, a longer look. Where we have fewer people, then those players have to play more. So
there isn't as much a conditioning element to that to getting those guys ready.
Well, I think conditioning is important, and that, again, you know, every play that, you know, players play in preseason is beneficial, both from a learning standpoint, a technique standpoint, and also conditioning. I mean, we can do, you know, running around the field and all that, and that's great for conditioning, but it's still not quite the same as actual game, you know, playing the game, the intensity of it, and the way that, what conditioning, what actually occurs in the game and the conditioning levels that a player has to be in to play a game. And again, we try to simulate those in practice, but it isn't quite the same. So whichever players play, when they're in there, they get those opportunities and experience, and when they don't, then it goes to some other players. So that's why practice against the Saints was so good. We really probably had, the equivalent of, in terms of snaps, maybe three full games of snaps against the Saints instead of one. And everybody got to play more plays, and I think that benefited our entire team.
Take a couple final questions.
Bill, after having a season of actually coaching Derek Burgess and working with him, can you talk about some of the things that you liked about his skills and ability that he brought to the team and what you hope to see out of him this season as well?
Well, I think Derek is a very knowledgeable pass rusher. I think he has a good understanding of his opponents, pass rush technique, and how to defeat blockers and how to specifically defeat individual blockers, based on their strengths and weaknesses and, how he matches up against them. He's played, primarily in a 4-3 defense at Philadelphia and Oakland, the majority of his career. And, in our defense, he played some in that position, but also, some as a 3-4 outside linebacker type. And again, that's a little bit different compared to what he had done in the past. So I think this year he's, based on the spring and, the workouts we had in May and June, I think he's certainly a lot further ahead in understanding what we do and our terminology and our techniques and so forth than it was at this time last year. Derek's really a pretty versatile player. He's he can do some different things and can do it pretty well. So we'll build on what we did in the spring and see how it goes.
All right, thanks everyone.
Okay, thank you.